You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.
A reported 131,000 submissions were made on the Regulatory Standards Bill. The bill, proposed by the ACT Party, includes a set of principles outlining reasonable regulation. Notably, it does not include any mention of either version of Te Tiriti or Waitangi. The Finance and Expenditure Select Committee will now go through the submissions and report on its findings. Last weekend, hundreds of Destiny Church members marched on Queen Street in a rally they called in defence of faith, flag and family. The protest was anti-LGBTQ+, anti-religious minorities and anti-immigrant. It has been condemned by politicians across the political spectrum. And the Labour Party has criticised the framing of a poll question by the Taxpayers Union Courier poll on whether or not Cook Islanders should retain automatic New Zealand citizenship. It comes as New Zealand pauses $20 million New Zealand dollars in development assistance over the Cook Islands engaging in diplomatic negotiations with China. For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I asked Deputy Leader Carmel Cipollone about all of these topics. I started by asking why she thought there were so many submissions on the Regulatory Standards Bill.
People just realise that this is an affront to democracy. It's David Seymour again trying to use the democratic process to get his libertarian ideals into legislation. And we'll be prioritising and making superior the rights of property owners and other things. It's just an affront to our democracy.
ACT has tried to pass similar bills before but has failed. How likely do you think this one is to succeed?
Well, we're highly concerned. The main concern here is that we've got a Prime Minister, the leader of the National Party, Christopher Luxon, who is exhibiting such weak leadership in allowing David Seymour to continually fly his own flag and put up pieces of legislation like this that are divisive and that really do cause concern amongst the general population here in New Zealand. We haven't been given assurance that it won't be supported, and therefore we can only assume that they've made some kind of deal behind the backs of every other New Zealander, and that it will go through. And so we need to push hard against them and let National know that we are not supportive of this libertarian agenda, and we expect Luxon and National to stand up and show some leadership, for goodness sake.
David Seymour made social media posts that singled out opponents of the bill, accusing them of having regulatory standards derangement syndrome. Is this an appropriate way to respond to dissenting voices?
No, it's not. And you have to question whether or not a person who makes those kind of statements, that puts that kind of message out on social media, whether or not they're fit for office, really. This is the man that is constantly talking about the need to ensure that people have the right to freedom of speech, and yet as soon as they disagree with him, put up an opposing view, then he's putting something derogatory out there to say that they are deranged. Now, what kind of adult is this? What kind of senior politician is this? He is the Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand, currently still, I believe, the acting Prime Minister of New Zealand, and these are the types of things he says about some very prominent, well-respected New Zealanders.
Labour MP Duncan Webb leaked that only a maximum of 30 hours of public submissions will be heard on the bill. Why do you think so little time is being given to these submissions compared to other major bills?
Well, this is where, again, you have David Seymour and the government shutting down the ability for New Zealanders to be able to give voice to something that they're concerned about. And so they know that the vast majority of submissions are opposed, the vast majority of New Zealanders are opposed, and they are closing them out from the democratic process so they won't have the ability to give voice to their concerns. This, again, is an affront to the democracy that we live in, and I think, yes, David Seymour needs to take responsibility, but Christopher Luxon needs to step up.
Last weekend, Destiny's Church protested everything they don't think aligns with their idea of Christian values. What was your reaction to this protest?
Look, we have just seen Destiny's Church escalate over the years. with Brian Tamaki at the helm. And it is of concern. Every New Zealander deserves to feel safe, deserves to feel that they are respected for who they are, that they can live as who they are. And sadly, Destiny's Church don't share in that belief. And so we don't support the actions that they undertake. They do make New Zealanders feel unsafe. They exclude New Zealanders in terms of all New Zealanders' ability to just get on and be who they are. And so we're not supportive at all.
What will Labor do to protect immigrants, LGBTQ plus community and religious minorities from this kind of rhetoric?
We will continue to stick up for all of those communities in the way that we have advocated for them in the past. We still do in the present, and we will continue to in the future. And I actually think that Destiny's Church is completely out of step with where New Zealanders are at the moment. We've made so much progress in terms of our acceptance, our understanding of each other. And Destiny's Church seem to be one of the few cohorts that just have not kept up with that progress.
Does New Zealand then need a strategy for social cohesion?
Well, that's interesting, because we did start a piece of social cohesion work when we were in government, and I don't think that that's been continued under the current government. I think it's ongoing that we, you know, there are, sadly, always going to be small groups of New Zealanders who rack up and are discriminatory, demonstrate prejudice against others. So it's important that we continue to put a focus on social cohesion, knowing that, so that we can ensure that this country is united and we don't see the levels of division that we've seen in recent months.
What is your response to the Taxpayers Union poll on Cook Island citizenship?
Yeah, I read that question and I thought, well, that's quite a leading question, actually. It kind of asserts that it's a dead end and that the situation can't be resolved. And I wouldn't like to think of it like that. I think that it's really important that the government find an opportunity to sit down and have that face-to-face dialogue. I do acknowledge, and Labor acknowledges, that the Cook signing up with China with that agreement was overstepping the free association relationship that we have. But the important thing now is to sit down and have the conversation.
Is the government appropriately managing the relationship between the Cook Islands and New Zealand government?
Look, we don't have all of the information that they have. And as we have said, we do acknowledge that the Cook Islands have overstepped and gone outside of our free association agreement by signing up with the agreement that they did sign up to. We're watching the space really closely and certainly want to support to get this relationship back on track.
I'm going to put this really bluntly because there's no other way, but does New Zealand's historic role as a colonial power in the Pacific need to be acknowledged when we are having these kinds of conversations?
Oh, I think it needs to be acknowledged generally, not just when we're having these conversations, that there certainly has been a place there. But also I want to recognise that around the 1960s, when many of these decisions were made by Pacific countries on on what their future would look like, their level of independence, moving away from that colonial administration that had existed, some decided that they wanted that level of independence and that they didn't want to sign up with any type of free association agreement. They didn't want to have that responsibility to New Zealand or those expectations, which include, you know, of course, not going into independent defence or security arrangements with other countries. And then there were other countries that decided they did want to have this free association agreement, which of course means citizenship, the ability to be able to travel without worrying about a visa, things like access to superannuation in New Zealand and pre-education. And with that, there was a deal made, Caden, you know, in terms of the expectations on our side will be this. Now, that deal was signed up by two parties and other Pacific countries decided that this is not the route that they wanted to go down. And so we do need to look at the spirit of the relationship and the intention when those free association arrangements were made. I think that it's very fair, and I wouldn't always say this about the government, but I do think it's very fair of them to assert that the agreement that the Cook Islands signed up to is not in the spirit of the free association relationship.
That was Labor Deputy Leader Carmel Cipollone on the regulatory standards bill, last weekend's Destiny Church protest, and the Taxpayers Union Curia poll on Cook Islands citizenship.
That was our weekly chat with the Labor Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.